Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and was followed possibly as late as 2 years later, he was paid a visit by the wise men to Christ. We do not know with certainty how long after his birth that they came, nor we don't know particularly the number of them that did come. It has been often concluded that there were three wise men, but this has been determined because three gifts are mentioned, but we can only be certain that there were two or more. Now, they are said to be wise men. In what ways they were wise, we're not told. But are we as wise as they proved themselves to be? Surely the Holy Spirit did not use the term loosely and without meaning when they are called wise. Their wisdom may well have been worldly wisdom, but even so, we cannot escape being impressed with the wisdom that they manifested surrounding their visit to Christ. We must remember that worldly wisdom is not necessarily wisdom in the sight of God. Now there was wisdom that descendeth, James 3 and verse 15, and is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. It takes one downward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is this disputer of this world? Hath not God made the wisdom of this world foolishness? For after then the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, friend, that which the world would call foolishness was God's plan by which he would save man. And worldly wisdom is not always considered wisdom in the sight of God. Now, who is really a wise person? James 3 says, "Who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that is, out of his manner of life, his works with meekness and fear." His manner of life determines whether he's wise or whether he's unwise. The men of Matthew chapter 2 proved themselves wise by what they did. These wise men were wise in what they did in visiting Christ. And there are several marks of wisdom that's manifested by them. And I ask, are we as wise as they? You see, they were wise because they were interested in Christ. They had heard of him sufficiently to want to inquire of him, and they came to visit. We're also wise to show an interest in Christ, friend. How tragic that some manifest no interest whatever in the Son of God. And he is our hope of glory. He alone hath the words of eternal life. He is the way to the Father. What a wonder that all are not concerned with means of salvation and forgiveness and spiritual success and life beyond this one. A wise person will be interested in the Christ. But again, they were wise in that they made a search for the Christ. Now this took effort on their part. Some may have a passing interest in Christ, but not sufficiently to really search for him. The Lord taught, "Seek ye the kingdom of God," and like the merchantman, seeking godly pearls. You'll notice in that parable that the one that found the godly pearl was one that was searching for it. And we also see these wise men did something that many people are not willing to do. They did not let somebody else do their searching for them. Now, it is true that Herod said he sought the child. Although his motives for doing so, we know, were very sinister, he wanted to destroy the child. But he might have been successful in doing that if he had not depended upon the wise men to do his searching for him. He asked the wise men to find the Christ for him. Well, today, many are willing to let others search for Christ in their stead. Oh, they'll look to their parents, or to husband, or wife, or child, or preacher, or priest, or somebody, most anybody. But surely we can and should assist one another in every way would come to a knowledge of Christ. But We should not depend upon man. We need to search for the Christ ourselves. Friend, let's understand. Nobody can know the things of Christ for you. Nobody can be saved for you. Every man will bear his own burden, and nobody will be lost for you. And nobody can do the work of searching and learning the truth without each one showing a recognition of his own personal responsibility in that matter. The wise men did not make this mistake. They showed wisdom. They wanted to find out for themselves. After all, friend, we cannot trust in men. We trust in the Lord. Even those people we love and trust cannot be our ultimate standard. It is possible for people to be misled and be mistaken. In 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now the people of Berea, they were called noble, because they searched the scriptures, and they did that daily to learn what was true, Acts 17 and verse 11. Paul taught that we're to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. We must learn the truth for ourselves. We must do our own searching. Jesus warned about the blind leading the blind. What would happen? Why, they both fall into the pit, Matthew 15:14. And in Matthew 25, did not the foolish virgins depend too much upon the others? They did not rely upon what they had available to themselves to learn and to do what was right. Inasmuch as each one of us are going to stand before God in judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, each one should be personally concerned with learning the truth themselves and searching for it, and not just rely upon some other and what some other might tell us about it. But we also see that these men not only did their own searching, but they were not haughty, they were not know-it-alls, but they were wise in that they were not too proud to ask for assistance and to ask for guidance when they needed it. They didn't know where the Christ child would be born. Now, they did not possess this know-it-all attitude that a lot of people seem to have today. They don't consult the Bible. They don't rely upon the Bible. They rely upon themselves or upon some other man. But like the Ethiopian who was reading from Isaiah, these people ask for assistance when they needed it. They inquired, where was it said that the prince would be born? You know, when the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, Philip asked if he understood what he was reading. Well, his response was, "How can I, if some man guide me?" And at that point, he invited Philip into the chariot, and he allowed himself to be taught. He did not have the attitude, "Well, nobody can tell me anything." Now, there are people like that. You can't tell them anything. They know it all. They're above everybody. They're superior in their knowledge and their attitude about things. Puts them upon a pedestal and everybody else beneath them. Did not Apollos act wisely to permit Aquila and Priscilla to teach him the way of the Lord more perfectly, as we read in Acts the 18th chapter? You know, many other preachers might have had the attitude that this man and his wife, why, they can't teach him anything. After all, he was a man that was mighty in Scripture. He was a man that was recognized to be eloquent. But he was willing to accept guidance from others. Friend, we are doomed to ignorance when we conclude that we can't learn more than we already know. Now, this does not mean that what we already know is necessarily incorrect. It means that there is always room for growth in knowledge, and others sometimes can help us. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Peter taught us. It's the mark of an educated man when he realizes that he doesn't know everything. There are others who know things that he doesn't know. And even though sometimes those with the highest academic degrees act as if they know everything, they don't know everything. And in our day and age, concerning those of so many scholarly attainments, so-called scholarly attainments, they think they know so much, but they don't know the will of God. And no man is educated when he does not know the will of God. Now, these wise men of our text, they were men from the East, they were wise, and they were wise enough to make inquiry in those things that they didn't know. And they asked even of Herod, where was the whereabouts of the one that they sought? Well, we also learn that they followed the light that the Lord provided. There was the star that they followed. First it was the star in the heavens, and then the light afforded them from the prophets that had foretold of the one who was to be born in Bethlehem. Well, friend, God has also given us light to guide our feet in this life toward heaven. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, all-sufficient Scripture to serve as our guide toward heaven, and it will furnish us completely to every good work, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. But we also see that these men were willing to pay the price in order to find the Christ. From wherever they came, and they didn't know how far it would be, they were willing to put forth the effort, regardless of how long it would take. They obviously committed themselves to the task. They had a goal, and they were dedicated to it, and they were going to meet that expectation. But we see that they were wise in that they never stopped until they found the child. Oh, yes, they encountered obstacles, but they did not quit. And today, people will meet obstacles in our desire to be faithful servants of God. But these things, they might come, and even from family or friends or from job or from other changes necessary in our habits of life, our associations, our attitudes. The putting away of the old man of sin and put on the new, that's not always the easiest thing to do. But Jesus spoke of some of those who were not far from the kingdom, but they were not yet in the kingdom. The rich young ruler, for instance, he asked what to do to be saved, but he went away sorrowful because he loved his wealth more than the Lord. These wise men did not allow any obstacle to cause them to turn away. They kept on keeping on until they succeeded in reaching what they wanted. And we see that they were wise in bringing gifts to the Lord. Frankincense, myrrh, gold, these were riches. They knew the Christ deserved the very best. You know, the Macedonian Christians, they gave even of their poverty. And the secret behind their good and successful giving was they first gave of themselves. Now, we read of these people who came from the East. They were wise because they were interested in Christ. They searched for themselves. They sought assistance when they needed it. They followed the light God provided for them. They were willing to pay the price, whatever it took. They would not stop. They would not quit. They stayed with the task, and they worshiped Him when they found Him. Now, my question to us today in this lesson is simply this. They were wise men, their so-called wise men. Are we as wise as they? Will we do the same things as wisdom dictates, to seek out the Christ and search the Christ as they did? Indeed, we should do that. Our eternal salvation is dependent upon us doing just exactly that. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.